You got to be willing to let the Holy Spirit tear that down, because you are a new person in Christ Jesus. And the truest thing about you is what God thinks about you. And God loves you, and God has a purpose for you. And God doesn't want your thinking to be led by your sinful nature. He wants your thinking to be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to experience complete freedom. He's obsessed with you experiencing freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, friend. Thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. You know, the Lord is moving here in such a special way. This last few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and then the title of the series is called Fire. And it's been fire. That was good. Yeah, everybody here? It's been, there it is. And really this whole thing started during my sabbatical when, you know, I spent about 2 months away. And the thing that the Lord showed me was that he wants to fill me in a new measure, in a new way with his Holy Spirit. And I've been walking with God for a bit. And God is saying, I'm going to do a new thing in you, Reuben. And I want you to experience a new filling of the Holy Spirit. And he made it clear to me that the future he has for me requires the Holy Spirit. Then he also said, it didn't stop with me. He said, the future that I have for Thorn Creek Church, and those of you who call this your home church, the future I have for Thorn Creek Church requires a new filling, a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we've been in this series. And let me just get this out here right now. The life that God has for you, the future that God has for you, requires a new filling, a new measure of the Holy Spirit living in you. So I want to make sure I drop that at your lap. I pray it sits in your heart. I pray you think about that a little bit. But God is not done with you. God has a purpose for your life. God sees you. God cares about you. And then he wants to put his Holy Spirit inside of you. So I want you to receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. We're in this series and we're looking at the Trinity. We're looking at the Holy Spirit. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? It's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. All there is one God, but there's three persons, three distinct roles, and all of them are equally God. All of them have their own roles. They all have their own purpose, but they're all equally God. And the Holy Spirit many times is kind of the forgotten God. You know, that's a phrase that's been used before. But Jesus talked about the value of the Holy Spirit when he was with the disciples. He told them, you need the Holy Spirit. Your strength is not enough. Your good intentions are not enough. Your willpower is not enough. And Jesus told them, when I leave, he's talking about after the resurrection, 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit falls down on the church. And the church is born in Acts chapter 2. But Jesus made it clear that your willpower, your strength is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit. And this is so important because a lot of times we rely on our own willpower, our own strength, and we think, I'm strong enough to do it. Let me just break it to you. It's not enough. You're not strong enough. You need the Holy Spirit. I think about how God has been moving here. He's been moving here in amazing, amazing ways. During my sabbatical, we visited a bunch of churches, just over 10 churches. And I love visiting churches, just seeing how God's moving. Every church is different. And hallelujah, the church is the globe. I mean, God's moving across the world. And there's people who are turning to Jesus Christ across the world. Different nations, different tribes, different languages. It's a beautiful thing. But something that I discovered is not everyone thinks the same. And you can think about it, like whether it's a church or it's also people or also Christians. There's people who think different. And one of the things I've discovered was people who experience supernatural, like supernatural results. They experience things that are just unexplainable without the Holy Spirit. Those people, they think different. That's what I've discovered. And there's supernatural results to their faith. Even here at this church, guys, I think about the way God's moving here. In the last 5 weeks, check this out. We have had 72 people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 72 people have stood up and said, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And we've had 475 people. Now, a lot of these people, you know, they're returning people. Some of these people are repeated. 475 cumulative people have received the Holy Spirit and have stood up and said, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Hallelujah. You know what I see? I see God is laying down the foundation. That's what he's doing. I didn't share this the other two services. God is laying down a foundation, and it starts with his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit working in the church is a powerful church. It's a supernatural church. There's signs and wonders that come with that. There's things that happen in this church that can only be explained with the Holy Spirit in the same breath. Glory to God. And I can see God moving. And right now, I feel like I've heard a song, and I'm trying to introduce that song to everybody else. That's what it feels like. It's like, or I see something happening over the Pacific Ocean, and I know it's going to be hitting us soon. And I'm telling you, it's coming. So I feel like in some ways, like I'm on fire and I'm waiting for everybody else to get on fire. But I can see the Holy Spirit working in you and in this church in a fresh way. And I can foresee spiritual freedom. I can see miracles. I can see more baptisms. I can see God doing things that are crazy that even that person who's an atheist would say, what's going on with that church? That's what I see. Well, glory to God. Today's message is called Think Different. And I know some of you grammar people want to put an L-Y at the end of that. Let me just say, think different. Think different. We're in this series, and last week I talked about feelings and emotions. You want to listen to last week's message. How many of you were here last week? Raise your hand. I heard so many positive things about last week's message, and today we're talking about our mind and how the Holy Spirit works in our thought life. But last week's message, we focused on Cain and Abel. And Cain, both of them offered a sacrifice to God. And you read about this in Genesis chapter 4. They offer a sacrifice to God, but God accepts Abel's offering, and he rejects Cain's offering. And scripture says that Cain's countenance fell. He was dejected, discouraged. And we talked about feelings and emotions. But in that, you can also see, undoubtedly, Cain was thinking about things. He was saying things to himself. They were probably negative, right? Because he wasn't able to get out of his funk. He wasn't able to get out of that dark place. So whatever he was saying to himself led him eventually to take action and kill his brother. Today, I want to share with you this woman. She was also saying things to herself, but it was a little bit different from what Cain was saying to himself. Bible says that she was sick for a long time. In fact, for 12 years, she had this health issue, and it involved bleeding. So that's all we know according to scripture. But she'd been living with this problem for a while. Have you ever had a problem for a while? That just like you live with it, and it's like, you know, it's not changing? And after a while, you just kind of accept it, right? You just kind of like, well, I'm going to learn to coexist with this thing, and this thing's not getting better, this relationship or this health or whatever it is, this financial situation. And we can, you know, some in a weird way kind of isolate ourselves when we go through those things. Well, this woman, she spends all of her money. I mean, she went to Good Samaritan, she went to Avista, she went to all these hospitals. She spent all of her money, all the doctors, nobody could help her out. But then she hears Jesus is coming in town. And I want to say, I'll just start off with this. She says this to herself. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. What's interesting about this whole story, she never includes Jesus on the game plan. She never talks to anyone in the crowd about the plan. She's just having this is all self-talk. You ever say things to yourself? Nobody else knows about it. And you're talking to yourself. Sometimes you talk out loud to yourself. Any talk out loud people here? Yeah, I do. I talk my, when I'm outside mowing the lawn or something like that, doing yard, I am talking to myself a lot. A lot of times when I'm talking to God, I talk out loud and people are like, what, are you talking to me? I'm like, no, I'm not talking to you, but I appreciate it. But we do that. But the NASB says this, for she was saying to herself, if only I can touch this garment, I'll get well. Something inside of her stirred within her, and she convinced herself, all I have to do is navigate through the crowd. And if I can just navigate through the crowd, and if I can just extend my arm, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, if I can just do that and touch the hem of it, I don't have to touch him physically. It doesn't have to be skin-to-skin contact. He doesn't have to pronounce me that I'm going to, he doesn't have to do it. I just have to touch the hem of his garment, and I'll be healed. Now, where did she get that thought from? What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to yourself? I'm going to say this. There's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. There is nothing more powerful than what you say to yourself. We say things, all kinds of things to ourselves. You might say, you know what, I'm this or I'm that, or church should be this or church should be that, or I'm not, they're not, he doesn't love me or she doesn't respect me, or I'm never going to be happy over there, or I can't believe they did that, or we have full on theater in our mind. Full on, there's episodes in our mind that nobody knows about, and what you say in your mind matters. What you say in your mind matters. But your first step in knowing God, your first step is in experiencing the power of his Holy Spirit is to change your mind. And I know that's hard because the older you get, the more stubborn you get, and the people that live with you know it. Turn to the person next to you and just tell him he's talking to you right now. It's so true. That's why there's like studies that talk about, you know, people who turn to Jesus. It's like before the age of 18, there's a good percentage. After the age of 18, it gets smaller. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of after the age 18 here in this church. Hallelujah. But as you get older, you become more fixated. I'll use that word. In our ways. In your ways. In the way you do things. The way you work around the house. In your routine. In your rhythm. And that kind of thing. And you can also be more fixated in your thinking. What you believe is a good person, what you believe is a right thing to do, what you believe, who God is, and what a relationship with God looks like, and what church should look like, and what you have all these thoughts within your head, but you need to understand God wants to transform you. I need to read Romans chapter 12 for you just a little bit. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It starts with you offering yourself to God as a living sacrifice. That means you are choosing to die to yourself. That's pretty intense. It's not about your will. It's about his will. And you're laying yourself out to God as before an altar. And you are choosing to live, be a living sacrifice. And verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's read that together. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're talking about today. This is what Paul is saying. Then he says, then, say then with me, then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul the Apostle is saying, hey, if you really want to know God's will, if you really want to know God's will for your future, if you really want to know God's will for your jobs, for your relationships, if you really want to know God's will and the future God has for you, here's what you got to do. You got to die to yourself. And then you got to be willing to be transformed. This is the Holy Spirit's involved in all this. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk more about what that means, renewing of your mind. Then you will know the will of God. That's the process. Another version says it like this. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God bless you. By changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. For those of you who are Christians, who you consider yourself Christians, let me just tell you, God's not done changing your mind. He's not done changing the way you think. He is not done. He is not done. And for those of you who are not Christians, hallelujah, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. I have a special place in my heart for people who don't know Christ, because I didn't know Christ until I was 18 years old. And let me just tell you, your new life begins when you are willing to change your mind and allow God to take over your thoughts. Your new life begins when you become open to this reality. This woman, she is willing to let God work in her heart. And she says to herself, if I could only get close enough. Matthew chapter 22 says this. Jesus said, he was asked, what's the most important commandment? And he said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your, what? What does it look like to love God with your mind? You ever thought about that? What does it look like to love God with your mind? This is such a profound thing. What does that look like? And as I looked at this and the Lord revealed to me, I want to share with you what God shared with me. And I want to share with you, and I pray that God just ministers to your soul as we look at this together. Here's what the Lord shared with me. First of all, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And I want us to read this out loud because this is a great verse to memorize, and it really captures the whole message. Here it is. So I say, and this is Paul the Apostle, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. There's the whole message. That's where we're going, guys. Get ready. You got your seatbelt on. Get ready. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So Paul the Apostle is making it clear that there's these two opposing forces within all of us. It's kind of like the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder, and they're both talking to you, and what are you going to listen? Who are you going to listen to? What are you going to do? That kind of thing. But Paul makes it really clear that there's this sinful nature thing inside of us. What's a sinful nature? Well, we inherit it from our spiritual grandparents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. They fall and sin enters the world. It impacts all of humanity, and we're born with this sinful nature. And that's the reason why temptation is temptation. Because we have this sinful nature inside of us. There's something inside of us that is craving that thing that we know is not honoring to God, but there's something inside of us that wants it. In Galatians chapter 5, we learn a little bit more about the sinful nature. It says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just opposite of what the Spirit wants. See, these two guys, it's like a UFC match right here. This is the octagon right here. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. It's because this is happening inside of you, and you want to do what's right, and you know it's right, but there's this thing inside of you, this sinful nature that's giving you desires, and you have cravings that you know are not right. There is a spiritual battle for your thought life. You got to hear that. There is a spiritual battle for your thought life. Your thoughts are so important. They are so important. You shouldn't let just anything enter your thoughts, into your head. That is an asset. That is real estate that is so priceless. And your thoughts, what you think about, is so important. And that's what God sees. So important. Everybody wants to know your thoughts. Aren't you glad other people around you don't know all your thoughts? Aren't you glad for that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could understand it? But people want to know your thoughts all the time. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is go and Google something online and check out the algorithms that pop up. Anytime I want like a new pair of tennis shoes, I'll just get Grace's phone and Google new tennis shoes or something like that, Air Jordan ones, and let her get all the ads or something. I don't do that, but Maybe once or twice if you didn't know. But anyway, but there is a strategy behind, I want to know your thoughts. So you need to understand what you think about matters to God. What you think about is important. Now, one of the devil's known, he has a few titles. One of them is Father of Lies. He is the Father of Lies. That's only one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is Spirit of Truth. The other two titles that I just want to talk about today, he's known as the Accuser. You see that in the book of Job. And he's also known as the Tempter. When you think about Accuser and Tempter, where do those battles happen? Inside your mind. Inside your thoughts. See, you could be even here right now at church and you can be present, but you can be taking a vacation right now. You could be not present. And you could be taking trips in your mind, and you could be thinking about things that are not honoring to God, and nobody knows it. And you convince yourself, as long as it's happening in my mind, it's okay. And I want you to know it's not okay. God cares about your thoughts. Timothy Keller said, "The true God of your heart is what your thoughts effortlessly go to when there is nothing else demanding your attention." Isn't that interesting? God knows your thoughts. Jesus, you see it over and over in Scripture, but there was a time when Simon Peter, at one point Jesus says, "You're the rock. The Holy Spirit revealed this to you." And then Simon Peter turns around and says, "Jesus, I don't think you should be going to the cross." And Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, he turns to Simon Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." God knows your thoughts. God sees your thoughts. Your thoughts matter to God. Jesus says, love God with all of your mind as well. Let's unpack this a little bit more. Romans chapter 8. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. There it is. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Wow. Been there before. It's really hard to walk with God when your sinful nature is controlling you. It's really hard. Like, we can all fake it. We can even go to church together. You could even be married. You can be in a relationship. You can be at work, wherever you're at. And you can say all the right things to fake everybody else out. But inside of your mind, there's this UFC match, and they have no idea that you are allowing your sinful nature to take in over your thoughts. And you think no harm, no foul. But what you think about matters. Norman Vincent Peale said, "You are what you think." You are what you think. Dallas Willard said it like this: "What is thinking?" Just for those of you who think, "Well, there's no harm. You know what? There's nothing wrong with thinking." What is thinking? It is the activity of searching out what must be true or cannot be true. Isn't that true? That's what we think about. But in the light of the given facts or assumptions, our thoughts are not just fleeting mental events, but powerful forces that can either lead us towards or away from God. See, every thought has a destiny. Every thought has a destiny. Your thoughts are significant. What you think about is impacting. So there's no such thing as a harmless thought, because if you allow those thoughts to just go wild, if you allow that sinful nature to continue to control you, and you allow yourself to go to that place of fantasy, you allow yourself to go to that place of lust, you allow yourself to go to that place of pride, that place of self-centeredness, and so you just let that happen in your mind long enough, and it'll affect your soul. Paul said, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. And it makes total sense. Your sinful nature can drive your thinking. What is a sinful nature? Well, Paul unpacks it in Galatians chapter 5. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. That's a relationship outside of a man and woman who's married. They're having sex. Impurity, anything that's impure. Lustful pleasures, very different from what God intended. Idolatry, you might think, well, I don't have struggle with that. But you know what? We could worship money. We could worship a job. We could worship a guy. We could worship a girl. We could worship ourselves even. Sorcery, that's when you're seeking answers from someone else or something else besides God. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. This is all sinful nature stuff. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Remember, it started off these. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, here are the results. And then he says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Every thought has a destiny. See, the devil wants you to think about things that are related to your sinful nature. The devil wants you to think about pride, and he wants you to think about things that cause division, dissension. The devil wants you to rehash things that have happened to you in the past. Have you ever, had one of those, times in your life where you've been hurt by someone and you rethink the conversation? It's been a year or 10 years and you're getting angry all over again. You know what I'm saying? I've gone through that. The devil wants you to be angry. The devil wants you to be full of yourself. The devil wants you to focus on lust in your mind. The devil wants you to do all these things. And it's with the sinful nature, it's like gravity. It's easy to, especially if you don't have the Holy Spirit working inside of you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're like a lion with no teeth and no claws. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to overcome these things. Let me say it like this. You can't truly know God's purpose if you're allowing your sinful nature to drive your thought life. You can't. If you're allowing your sinful nature to drive your thought life, then it's really difficult. Well, let's look at the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So you all of a sudden it's like, okay, whatever, you know what, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to think, what does God want me to do today? How can I please God in this situation? Who does God want me to share my faith with? Oh, I care about the church because Jesus is the head of the church and I care about the things happening in the church. I care about serving, I care about giving, I care about loving, I care about every soul because Jesus wants everyone to go to heaven. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants everyone to go to heaven and every soul matters to God, so I'm going to care about every soul. If I see someone in need, I'm going to love on them because they need encouragement. I care about the things that God cares about. And you know what? I care about God's word because it's his word. It's someone who is controlled by the Holy Spirit has a desire to please the Holy Spirit. They have that desire. You know, I was talking to one of our people who is just starting in a leadership position. They're a volunteer leader, and they were talking to me about recruiting people. And they were saying, a lot of people say no. And I'm like, yeah, I know it. But you know what I told this woman? I said, here's what you need to know. The people who have surrendered to God's will, they say yes. That's all it is. The people who have died to themselves and have surrendered to the will of God, those people are different. Verse 6 said, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Anybody need peace of mind? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I'll take peace of mind by the Holy Spirit over living in Hawaii for 2 months. I'll just tell you that. Because you can't take a vacation from your mind, can you? Doesn't matter what your address is. If you're restless, then you're restless. That's why some of us go to bed and you might have sleep, but you wake up and you don't have rest because your mind has been going. You need the peace of mind that comes from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit controls your thoughts, you have this surrender, this trust in God. I was with someone at the hospital. I didn't share this the last two services, guys. The Lord's moving in a special way in this one. I was at the hospital just about a week and a half ago. We have someone, James Parker, and he was at the hospital, and they're doing a procedure on him that involves drilling into his head, drilling two holes into his head. And I'm talking to him, and he says, he's a country boy. He's an East Texas cowboy kind of guy. You got to understand that. And he said, Pastor Reuben, I'm not worried about anything. Jesus cares. The God cares about all those birds in the sky. I don't have to worry about anything. If he's going to take care of those birds, he'll take care of me. That's what he tells me. And he meant it. And he's like, God, I've had such a good life. If God wants to take me now, I'm okay with that. God's so good. I'm like, oh my, I want this kind of faith. It's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? At someone who has surrendered to the, and he's doing great, just so you know, at someone who has surrendered to the will of God, God has given you his Holy Spirit so that you would think differently. You like all those grammar people, you like that one? Verse 10 says this, but it was to us, this is about the Holy Spirit knowing our thoughts, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Think about that. The Holy Spirit reveals to you what God is thinking. The Holy Spirit reveals to you your future. Verse 11 says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Isn't that a good word? The Holy Spirit knows your thoughts. You might be able to conceal your thoughts, and you might be able to fake everybody else out. You might be able to be in the house but be at another place, and you think nobody else knows, but God sees your thoughts and God knows them. Verse 12 says, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So the Holy Spirit knows your thoughts and reveals God's thoughts. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is, I have a lot of favorite chapters, but it's Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, written arguably by King David, he contrasts someone who is a righteous person with someone who's unrighteous. That's what he does. And he starts off, verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who, what's that M word? Read it out loud. Meditate. Say it one more time. Meditates. Meditates on his law. How often? Day and night. So Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed. In other words, God, his hand is on you. God is watching over you. God is blessing you. What does this blessed person look like? Well, they spend time day and night meditating on God's word. You know what the word meditate means? Here's what it means. This is the Hebrew. I've unpacked it for you. The Hebrew definition implies a deep, serious, and affectionate thoughtfulness. In other words, it's this idea of to think about it over and over again and to fall deeply in love with it. To think about it over and over again. It's a romance. It's like you fall in love with the Word of God. You think about it over and over and over again. For me personally, and you create your own thing, but personally, you know what I love to do? I love to spend the morning, and I'll read one chapter in the morning. I'll read it, or I'll listen to it, or both. I'll read one chapter in the Bible, and I go through the Bible right now. I'm in Revelation chapter 2. But after that, throughout the day, you know what I do? I reread what I read in the morning. And many times God shows me something that I read in the morning, but it comes out in the afternoon or it comes out in the evening. So in my downtime, when I'm in line at Starbucks or I'm sitting down or I'm in the car and just chilling, whatever it is, I'll reread what I read before I go to social media or whatever it is. I'll reread it. I'm like, what does that mean? And you know what I've discovered? The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it goes into soul and spirit and divides. and it changes your life. This is how you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Part of growing in Christ is knowing what's true and what's not true. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Word of God. You need the Word of God to live out the life God has for you. You need to know what's true and what's not true, so you can discern in your own mind, I'm thinking a thought that's not true. I'm thinking a thought that's evil. I'm thinking a thought that's self-destructive. This is not leading me to God. This is leading me away from God. So I'm not going to think this thought right now. I'm going to look to God's word. I'm going to cry out to him. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to cast this thought out in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. To have a relationship with the Holy Spirit starts with you subjecting your mind to God's word throughout the day. You need it. You just need it. Look at this other consequence of someone who is full of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Let's just read it out loud. Great, great verse to memorize. You notice I keep saying great verse to memorize. I feel like I'm saying that for every verse we read. Let's go through this here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want to know if someone is full of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's this love, and there's this joy, and there's this peace that they have, and their patience, their kindness and goodness and thankfulness and this gentleness about them and self-control. Now, how does this relate to your mind? Here it is. You need the Holy Spirit to give you a new self-control, to pick and choose what you think about. You need the Holy Spirit to help you, because it's so easy for your thoughts to go. You know what I'm talking about? It's so easy. It's because of that sinful nature in all of us, guys. That's what it is. Because of our sinful nature, it's so easy for us to go to a place that we shouldn't go to. Why in the world couldn't Cain turn the corner? Why in the world couldn't he get back on track? And God told him, look, just do what's right. It's not that complicated. Why couldn't Cain turn the corner? It's because he allowed his thought life, that sinful nature, to get a hold of him. And all he could think about was those things inside of him. And that's all, I mean, that's all, and he couldn't snap out of it. Have you ever been in a situation where you just feel like you can't snap out of it? Paul says in Philippians, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, God honoring. Now, what Paul is making clear in this point here is this. You get to choose what you think about. You get to choose. You have the freedom to choose what you think about. You can, if a passing thought comes through your head and you know this is not of God, you get to choose and say, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to fix my mind on things that honor God. I'm going to do that. Paul made it really clear how to do it in 2 Corinthians. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So Paul, this is all so rich right here, this one verse. He makes it clear that there are certain things that we elevate. There are certain things that are in the high places. There are certain thoughts that we have that is like a fortress. And maybe it came from the days when we didn't know Jesus and we had this kind of thinking. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you have a fortress-like conclusion about something. About God, about the church, about you, about being a good person, about who gets to heaven, whatever it is, about some issue in your life, whatever it is. And in your mind, you have a fortress and you've convinced yourself that God is okay with this or I'm okay with this, whatever it is. And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. You got to be willing to let the Holy Spirit tear that down because you are a new person in Christ Jesus. And the truest thing about you is what God thinks about you. And God loves you, and God has a purpose for you, and God doesn't want your thinking to be led by your sinful nature. He wants your thinking to be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to experience complete freedom. He's obsessed with you experiencing freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But then he says, you got to be willing to take captive. Oh, put that back up, will you, brother? Take captive. He said, you're willing to take captive every thought and make it what? Here's spiritual growth. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, and you have a thought, and you know it's driven by that sinful nature, you know it's coming from the father of lies, you know, if you embrace that thought and you go to bed with that thought and you put the blanket over that thought and you curl up and you spoon that thought and you live like that, that thought's going to change you. It's going to affect your character. It's going to affect the actions that you take in life, because it starts here, but eventually it'll come out here, right? It'll start here. Haven't you been around someone where they do something and you're like, how in the world could you have done that? And you don't know, they've been thinking about this for months. It just happens to come out now, right? Am I preaching to anybody right now? You know what I'm talking about? I've done it before. And you think, when did you come up with that conclusion? You came up with that conclusion all by yourself? Nobody's been part of this? Paul says, you take captive every thought. And when Paul wrote this, there was something known as high places, fortresses. And we saw this when we went to Athens, went to Rome, and went to Corinth. And there's these high places where other gods are worshipped, the Acropolis, and these other places. And the thought was, people who lived there during the days of Paul, if they were being attacked by any enemy, they would go up to these high places, because from there you have a better view and you can protect yourself better. But then also, here's the other thought. If you were the enemy, and if you were attacking those high places, one of the things you would do is you would take captive anyone who's there. In other words, it's like full-on control. You'd put shackles on them and full-on control. You'd put your foot on their throat. And Paul is saying, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. It's like, I'm not going to listen to that thought. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm going to put my foot on that throat right there, because that lust, that anger, that self-centeredness, that pride, I'm not going to let that thing have any control on me. You hear that? You got to declare war on anything that comes between you and Jesus. You got to declare war on anything that comes into your mind that you know is not from God. You got to declare war, because the devil comes to seek and kill and destroy and create division. He's the author of confusion, and he wants to rip your life apart. You got to know who your enemy is. You got to know it. So you got to embrace the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. It doesn't matter how much bench press you do. It doesn't matter how much reps. It doesn't matter how strong. It doesn't matter how smart. It doesn't matter how much you think of yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to live the life God has for you. You need the Holy Spirit to help you get through life. You need the Holy Spirit to think the right thoughts, thoughts that are pleasing and honorable to God. You need the Holy Spirit to know the difference between a lie and the truth. You need the Holy Spirit. You gotta have the Holy Spirit. Don't be a Cain. Don't be a Cain. Don't be a Cain. God said, why is your face fallen? Don't you know? Watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, desiring to have you. Your soul is at stake. What you think about in the eyes of God matters. I feel like preaching today just a little bit. I'm not done here, but the Lord brought all that to my head. Glory to God. So you got to be willing. Thank you, holy or almighty God. You got to be willing to let God tear down pre-existing thoughts. You hear that? I know we become in love with our pre-existing thoughts. We become infatuated with our pre-existing thoughts, and we say, well, this was okay over here. And God's saying, you know what, just because it was okay over here, it doesn't mean it's okay over here. You are a new person in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? And you got to be willing to say, all right, tear down the fortress. Holy Spirit, you guide me. Holy Spirit, I'm going to trust you. And I know sometimes we're like, well, if I let go of this, what will it look like over here? You know what it's going to look like? Freedom. It's going to be blessings. There's going to be blessings on this side. You don't have to worry about anything. He'll take care of everything. And you know what? It's going to be part of your story. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to take control of unwanted thoughts. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who think highly of yourself, let me just flip this question on you. We'll do an Uno reverse real quick here. What will you not think about? What will you not think about? If you feel like you got it under control, what will you not think about? The Holy Spirit is your coach, your referee. He's the Parakletos. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. He's your guide. And the Holy Spirit will help you identify what to think about and what not to think about. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will reveal to you what's true and what's not true. And you got to take care of your thought life, because there's nothing more precious than your thought life. Ask any advertiser. Ask Google. They know it. There's nothing more precious than your thought life. Then your mind belongs to God. Jesus wants you to love God with your mind. God cares about your thought life. And God wants you to honor him with your thought life. Because if you think God thoughts, if you think thoughts that please the Holy Spirit, guess what? You become more usable for him for the kingdom of God. You do things that are amazing. You do things supernatural. You experience a freedom. You have a peace that is not from this world. You have a peace of mind that comes from the Holy Spirit working inside of you. You have a peace in the middle of your storms. You have a peace in the middle of the chaos. You have a peace in the middle of whatever you're facing, because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and working inside of you. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you know who holds tomorrow. You know God's going to take care of everything, so you can trust him with your life, and you can walk around with a new joy, a new peace, a new love, because the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. I got to finish this up, guys. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says this. This is a good verse to memorize. Let's look at this. Some of you got that. Say it out loud. Set your mind. Things above. You know what this verse means? You have the ability to set your mind on anything you want to set your mind on. You see that? You have the ability to think about whatever you want to think about. What a concept. You're not a slave to every thought. You're not a slave to every thought. You have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to control your thoughts. Hallelujah. And Paul says, set your mind on things above. In other words, I'm going to think about things that please God. I'm going to think about things that honor God. Some of you, you need to let God transform you by the renewing of your mind. Let God change you by changing the way you think. Let God's Holy Spirit change your mind and change your thinking. Instead of looking at the negative, why don't you look at it and say, God, what is your will in all this? Instead of saying, I want everybody else to change, start with saying, God, change me. Instead of thinking, why doesn't everybody else do whatever? Start with saying, God, what is your purpose for my life? Have your way inside of me, God. Start with me. Start with me, because God has a purpose with every one of you. God has a purpose in your life. God sees you, and every circumstance that's happening in your life has a purpose. And you have an opportunity to set your mind on whatever you choose to set your mind on. And the Holy Spirit helps you control your thoughts. I think I'm done, guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I'm done. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, keep moving here, I pray. Please, Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity. We've been doing this in every service. I'm going to ask some of you to stand up. And this is a part where you leave this room different from when you came into this room. Okay? This is the part when it's real. But if you don't know Jesus and you're not a Christian, but you came to church today, hallelujah, way to go. I'm so glad you're here. Love you. And I mean that wholeheartedly. In this church, we're always going to have a sign on the front door that says vacancy. We're always going to have a sign that says vacancy because everybody needs the grace of God. It's always going to be there. But if you want to become a Christian today, this is your first step. Becoming a Christian. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other mediator between us and God than Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And God loves you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And He went to the cross for you and for me so that we can experience the forgiveness of our sins. And you could know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So if that's you, you want to become a Christian today, would you stand up really quickly? And I'm going to say a prayer. Where are we at? Anybody want to stand up and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today? Anybody? Stand up really quickly. Anybody? Really quickly. Everybody needs the grace of God. Oh, I see a brother in the back. Glory to God. Way to go, brother. Way to go, man. Hallelujah. Stay standing up, brother. I'm going to pray especially for you because you took courage to stand up. Sometimes people are afraid to stand up thinking, what will other people think? And I'll just say, if you knew people the way God knows people, you wouldn't be worried about what they think. You'd be worried about what God thinks. So way to go, brother. We all need the grace of God, man. And me too. Me too. I'm with you, man. I'll give you a hug later on after the service. Here's the next ask. If you need the Holy Spirit to take control of your thought life, stand up really quickly. Stand up really quickly. Stand up like it's your prayer. You need the Holy Spirit to take control of it. Would you just cry out to God? And I want to pray for my brother and anybody else. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart, would you just say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I want you to be my Lord and God from here on. I ask you to change my heart. Oh, give me new desires and put your Holy Spirit inside of me. Today, I choose to become a Christian. Others of you, maybe you need to say this. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, I want you to take control of my thoughts. Give me a new control, not a control that comes from my own strength, but from heaven. Take control of my thoughts. Help me, Holy Spirit. Give me a new peace of mind that I have never had before. Renew and transform my mind. Tear down any fortresses that I have built up. Tear down any pre-existing conclusions that I have. I want to love you with my mind. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me identify those thoughts that come from the sinful nature. Identify those thoughts that are planted from the father of lies and give me the ability to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, my Savior. So Holy Spirit, I want to honor you. I want my mind, my thoughts to honor you. So Holy Spirit, you're in control from here on. You are in control of my thought life from here on. And I worship you with my mind. Pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody praise the Lord. Hey,
thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.